Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from Pastor Mike Gowans.
Well, who's ready for the Festival of the Nations? There's a few. So tonight is the final night. It's called the Feast of Tabernacles. And we find Jesus celebrating this most important day of the feast in John chapter 7. So if you have your Bibles, turn there before we get into my message today, just to give you a last encouragement and bring some understanding of this feast. So then on the most important day of the feast, the last day, Jesus stood and shouted out to the crowds, "All you thirsty ones, come to me. Come to me and drink. Believe in me so that rivers of living water will burst out from within you, flowing from your innermost being." Just like the scripture says, Jesus was prophesying about the Holy Spirit that believers were being prepared to receive. But the Holy Spirit had not yet been poured out upon them because Jesus had not yet been unveiled in all of his splendor. What does that mean? It means Jesus had not yet died and resurrected in his resurrection glory. So, why do I believe that? Why can you trust Jesus? Why can you trust the Bible and what the Bible says? Because he has been revealed in all of his glory. There were over 500 eyewitnesses of the resurrected Jesus. And I can believe in someone, I can trust in someone who comes on the scene, lives a perfect life, a sinless life, then predicts how he's going to die, and then predicts on the third day, I'm going to rise again in all of my glory. Okay? So I can follow someone, not that says that, but who pulls it off, right? I can follow somebody who predicts, comes in alignment with hundreds of prophecies made over hundreds of years by different people, comes on the scene, lives a perfect life, only does good and miraculous things, raises the dead, opens blind eyes, and has a message of love for the world, right? And then predicts his death and his resurrection and then pulls it off. And many of those who saw the resurrected, glorified Jesus gave their lives for that truth. And those of us that are sons and daughters today, we believe in that. We believe. We have put our faith and trust in the resurrected Jesus. And because of that, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. The Holy Spirit, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, lives inside of us. Our sins have been fully forgiven. And tonight, we are going to celebrate a festival that Jesus celebrated. Now, I've been asked many times over the years when I think Jesus is going to return. And my response is, I have no idea. But if I were to have to guess, I wouldn't try to guess on the date, or rather the year, but I would guess on the time of the year if I were to guess. I believe that there's a good chance that Jesus would return during these festivals that the Jewish people are celebrating and we are celebrating as a church. Our Messianic congregation leads us in these festivals. And why do I think that? Why do I believe that? Well, something significant happened at Passover, didn't it? Like Jesus died on Passover. something pretty significant happened on Pentecost. Yeah? Guess what? The third major festival. Something hasn't happened yet. Could it be that it's on that festival that Jesus comes back? Now, I don't know if he's coming back today, but wouldn't you like to be in church celebrating him? Just in case he came back today. That's the best plug I could give for the Festival of the Nations, okay? But today, as we continue our series, You Matter, we are going to talk about how the nations matter. The nations matter. The nations matter. Why do they matter? Because God said they mattered.
That's right.
And where does God say they matter? All over his holy scriptures.
That's right.
And here at Bethel, you know, we don't always know what the will of God is. But when in doubt, we imagine what is going on in heaven and what it looks like in heaven. And so in a situation here on earth that I'm not certain what the will of God is, then I imagine what it is in heaven. And does this situation here on earth look like heaven? If it doesn't, then I'm going to pray what it's like in heaven here in this situation. Amen? But we don't have to guess what it's like in heaven, because John, the Apostle John, got taken to heaven. And so I'm going to show you how important the nations are to heaven and what God wants and what not only wants, but what heaven will look like. The question is, will our life, will earth look like that? For me and for our team and this spiritual family, we have made it a mission to look like heaven. In the way we're going to see looks like heaven in this passage in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. And they were all singing this new song of praise to the Lamb, because you were slaughtered for us. You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals. Your blood was the price paid to redeem us. You purchased us to bring us to God out of every tribe, language, people group, and nation. Out of every nation, every people group, every language will be in heaven worshiping God together one day. And those from the nations that are already there, they are worshiping him. From every tribe, every tongue, every nation. Verse 10, you have chosen us to serve our God and formed us into a kingdom of priests who reign on the earth. God values diversity. Here at Bethel, we do not worship diversity. We value it. We worship God. We worship God, and we desire what God desires. And the love of God that is poured out upon us as we worship the God of love, if we'll allow it, will cause us to desire what he desires. You know, that last song we were singing about the nations and asking for the nations. And you go, I don't even know that I've ever prayed for that. I don't even know that I've even desired that. Well, if you spend enough time in God's word and in his presence, and you allow him to open your eyes to what he values and what's important to him, you will. In fact, the church is pretty irrelevant to speak to many of the challenges we are facing in our nation and the world, especially when it comes to diversity. And because we have been irrelevant, because Sunday morning is the least diverse day of the week in the church, we don't have much to say about it. And because we don't have much to say about it, the world is defining what diversity is. And it's not what God defines diversity as being and what God values about diversity. It gets perverted. But church, here's the good news. We have decided to be about what God is about. We have decided, by the grace of God, to build a church. Okay? Rather, let God build a church. We have decided to let God, to let Jesus build this church the way He wants it to look. And according to my scriptures, according to what heaven looks like and what Jesus said, what are we to do? Pray to God, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven." What is the will of God in heaven? But the nations from every tribe, from every tongue, to worship Him. This is the will of God. And guess what? God is so good that He brought the nations to us. And what you see right here is 31 nations that God has added to this church, Bethel.
Come on.
31 nations in this church in Chandler, Arizona. And guess what? There are many nations that are here in our city and our state. And yeah, I said state because, you know what? A church alive is worth the drive. So if they live in Tucson, it's worth the drive. Okay? This is God's heart. This diversity. Not the world's definition of diversity. We have to be the light. We have to be the salt. To preserve. You know, one of the things salt does, it preserves. We got to preserve the culture. I mean, the culture's gone wild. I mean, to the point that we've thrown science out. Even the culture in the world that worships science. Now, science doesn't matter. In that there's a redefinition of marriage. There's a redefinition of what it is to be male and female. I'm sorry. And I know this one's streaming. It may get me in trouble. But I can't help but stand on the Word of God and what God says. God made male and female. And guess what? He also did with the gospel. He made them equal. But being equal is not being the same. See, because we haven't allowed the gospel to make male and female equal, what does the world do? It tries to make male and female the same. It tries to make every value the same. And guess what? Not all values are the same. There are things, people value that are wicked. And today, people, our culture is calling what is evil, good. And what is good, evil. And this is what happens when the church does not try to represent heaven. This is why we have nothing to say to diversity. Because we haven't let the gospel move us in such a way to reach out and to people that don't have our same preferences. Yes, it is all about, how did the gospel get around the world? People decided to lay their lives down. How do you let God build a diverse church? Because people like you have decided that I'm going to lay down some of my preferences. Some of the songs that I might like to sing. Because there's something greater. There's something greater. This is, what's the motivation? It's love. It's love. And if we don't rise up and let love motivate us and reach out to people that don't look like us, that don't have the same preferences that we have, then the world will come along and it will be the counterfeit to what diversity is meant to be. So why the nations? What's so important about the nations? Well, if you have your Bible, turn to Psalm 96. I'm going to read the whole chapter, and you'll see God's heart and His desire, because there is beauty. There's a beauty in the unity of diversity. There is a beauty in the unity of diversity. We have the God of all creation, who is the ultimate picture of unity in the midst of diversity. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this eternal relationship of diversity that has always been unified. And what unifies? Love. Love is what binds them together. But guess what? They're not the same. You understand? The answer is not sameness. This is the world's solution, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Because there will always be somebody that will be discriminated against, will be put out. Go ahead, verse 1, sing your new song to the Lord. Let everyone in every language sing Him a new song. Don't stop. Keep on singing. Make His name famous. Make His name famous in every language. Make it famous. Tell everyone every day how wonderful He is. Give them the good news of our great Savior. Take the message of His glory and miracles to every nation. Wow. That would be a really great name for a global family of churches, wouldn't it? Every nation. Maybe we should join. Tell them about the amazing things He has done. For the Lord's greatness is beyond description, and He deserves all the praise that comes to Him. He is our King God, and it's right to be in holy awe of Him. Other gods are absolutely worthless. For the Lord God is Creator God, who spread the splendor of the skies, breathtaking brilliance and awesome inspiring majesty, radiant from His shining presence. His stunning beauty overwhelms all who come before Him. Surrender to the Lord Yahweh, all you nations and peoples. Surrender to Him all your pride and strength. Confess that Yahweh alone deserves all the glory and honor. Bring an offering and come celebrate in His courts. Come worship the Lord God, wearing the splendor of holiness. Let everyone wait in wonder as they tremble in awe before Him. Tell the nations plainly that Yahweh rules over all. He is doing a great job, and nothing will disrupt Him. He treats everyone fair and square. Let the skies sing for joy. Let the earth join in the chorus. Let oceans thunder and fields echo this ecstatic praise until swaying every swaying tree of every forest joins in, lifting up their songs of joyous praise to Him. For He comes, the Lord God. He's already to judge the world. He will do what is right and can be trusted to always do what's fair. Hallelujah. There's a beauty in the unity of diversity. The nations matter. The nations matter. And nations are not just nation states the UN recognizes. Nations are people groups. In fact, there are many that think there could be up to 24,000 nations or people groups. Most land on around 12,000. And there's about 4,000 people groups yet to hear the gospel. 4,000 people groups, nations yet to be reached, that God desires. He desires for all to come to know him. This is his heart. For God so loved the world with all of its nations. And the Feast of Tabernacles celebrates that. In fact, there was a sacrifice given for the nations. God created the nation of Israel through Abraham to be a blessing to all nations. That was the purpose, to bring Jesus through this nation, to be a blessing to all nations. He's for the nations and the salvation of all people groups, of all languages, of all tribes. This is God's heart and desire, and there is such beauty in it. Such beauty in it. Not the beauty that comes, that drives the United Nations for unity. See, it's not driven for humanity's glory, which is what all earthly institutions that don't put God first can only do. Which then actually destroys humanity. But when you exalt God, the creator of humanity, above all else, he blesses humanity. That's where the blessed life is found. He commands us. He commands us to obey him because he wants us to bless him. Or he wants to bless us. That's the result of obeying him. That's the blessing. And when you and I value what God values, and when you and I obey what God commands to do, guess what happens? You get blessed. You get blessed. See, when I think we as a church value the nations like God values the nations, it increases the worth of God in the earth. God can't be worth more. He's all valuable, but the earth, to be filled with God's glory, needs those that would join us in admiring him. And diversity increases the worth of something. Think about great pieces of art, right? One, there's a value over hundreds of years of people admiring a piece of art. And there's a vastness, there's a diversity of the number of people. Right? I mean, Hollywood even knows this, in that the biggest blockbusters are those that a diversity of people admire the movie. Pixar's gotten this down, right? I mean, let's do cartoons that adults laugh at and get and kids love. It's still family valued movies that are most of the time the biggest blockbuster. And why? Because it has a diversity of admirers. And and when we can have a diversity of people who admire the King of Kings, who praise the King of Kings, who glorify the King of Kings, okay, it releases God's glory in that place. Yes. Because of the diversity of admirers. It increases the value, the worth of God in the earth. And the more we value the worth of God, the more we honor God, guess what happens? God blesses. And you recognize any culture that values what God values, there's a blessing that comes. Even those that don't recognize God, when they value what God values, there's a blessing to it. So there's a lot of people in the earth, in the world, that actually have discovered things that God values. And God reigns on the just and the unjust. There's a blessing, whether you believe in God or Jesus, but you value what God values, there's a blessing that comes on you and the nation. But when you don't value what God values, if you don't admire what God, who God is, then you release destruction. You release pain. Romans 15:11 says, "Praise the Lord, all you nations. Let all the peoples extol him or praise him." He wants the nations. He desires the nations, church. Number three, a leader's glory grows with diverse followers. A leader's glory grows with diverse followers. The Apostle Paul was a great leader. He was a fantastic leader, but listen to what he said about how he was able to reach such a diverse people, the Gentiles, the nations. In Romans chapter 15, verse 18, it says, "And I will not be presumptuous," this is Paul speaking, "to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me. For many non-Jewish people are coming to the faith's obedience by the power of the Spirit of God, which is displayed through the mighty signs and amazing wonders, both in word and deed, starting in Jerusalem and went from place to place to every distant province of Rome, of the Roman Empire." He's talking that here that it wasn't me. It wasn't my power or influence. But he's saying is that how great is the power of God and the gospel that has, what, saved such a diverse people. I mean, it's absolutely amazing how the gospel of Jesus can enter any culture and transform it and redeem it. Not getting rid of all of its culture, but redeeming that culture. Other religions really push the culture out. But not God. God redeems what's redeemable in every culture. And he wants to celebrate it, which is what we're going to do tonight. From 5 to 7, you can come and eat wonderful, marvelous food and gelato from Italy, because Italy will be represented tonight. It's the real ice cream, okay? It's called gelato and it's like nectar from heaven. Come tonight from 5 to 7, and at 7 we're all going to come and worship together, and it's going to be an explosion. I don't even know how we're going to fit everybody in here, but it's going to be fun trying. Hallelujah. God wants to celebrate culture. But you know, it's going to take reaching the nations. It's going to take you sacrificing your preferences and what you like. But I promise you, because I've experienced it, there's so much joy. There's so much pleasure in that diversity. And it just gets better and better and better, because love never gets old. It only gets better. And we just celebrate. It just gets more fun and more fun, more joyous. One other point I want to make out here: a leader's glory grows with diverse followers. The more diverse God's people are, the more cultures, the more people groups, the more nations that are reached, the more glory fills the earth. As the scripture says and promises, as the waters cover the sea, my glory will cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. So as more people groups and more nations are reached, more glory fills the earth. This is God's heart. And it took people that laid their lives down, willing to go long distances, get on dangerous ships, right? I mean, we know the Apostle Paul, his ship was shipwrecked, right? He could have lost his life. Many had lost their lives for the advancement of the kingdom. It will take you and I going, you know what? Let me stop in life's busyness and recognize my neighbor. You know, God called us to go to the nations, and we're going to the nations. But God has also, in his incredible mercy and grace, brought the nations to us, to where those nations that we have not yet reached could be living right next door to you. Like, you don't have to go that far. You don't need a passport to go to that nation. But where do you get that kind of heart? It's only from God. That's good. And church, we need God's heart. Yes. We need his heart. And we need to be the answer to all of the problems in our culture. Because if we don't, others will step up with a counterfeit. And they are. It's hard. It takes, you know, I have found the greatest leadership gift is needed the more diverse the group of people you're leading. I mean, there are people that can't even, let's just get real. We all struggle with even leading ourselves, okay? Like, but the next easiest thing to do is to lead people that are like you. As much like you as possible. Right? But the more diverse of people, you give me different ethnic backgrounds, different gender, male, female, because there's only two, okay? So you give me that. You give me different age, right? You give me different socioeconomic, you give me different call. Like, man, the more of that you have, the harder it is. The more of a gift of God in leadership you will need to do it. But is it worth it? Yes, because there's glory. There's a greater glory. And what did Paul do? He said, I give all the glory to God. And right here, I'm going to let you in on something, okay? We really don't know what we're doing, okay? Okay, so don't tell everybody, but I want you to know, okay? We are just receiving God's love and loving people the best way we can. And here's the beauty about when you have a culture like that, you know, and you go, man, I don't know if I might say something that might be offensive. That's okay, because when you have a culture of love, people are like, dude, I know you're trying. Like, I'm not going to get offended. Like, go ahead. Yeah, you just said something could be super offensive, but I'm not going to be offended because I know you're trying. Right? That's the beauty of Bethel. That's the safe place that we have, okay? You know, we got all these safe places. Well, the church should be the safest place, right? This is the safe place where we'll accept you and we won't judge you and we will take you and go, yeah, you don't get it yet. That's okay, but you know what? Let me help you. I'm going to believe the best. I know you weren't trying to be offensive when you just said that, but let me help you, because I'm not offended, but you'll offend other people, right? But what better place than the church to do that, to figure out, like, how I'm supposed to talk to somebody that doesn't look like me, right? The church is that place. Hallelujah. So, Jesus said this. Jesus told us in John chapter 14, I tell you a timeless truth. Verse 12. The person who follows me in faith, believing in me, will do the same mighty miracles that I do, even greater miracles than these, because I go to be with my Father. For I will do whatever you ask me to do when you ask me in my name. And this is how the Son will show that the Father is really like, who the Father is really like, and bring glory to him. Ask me anything in my name, and I will do it for you. Lord, we ask you for the nations. We ask you for the nations because it's your heart to have the nations. And the more diversity we have with unity, it's in that place we're going to see God commands his greatest blessing. It's in that place. And that's what we want. And we are seeing the signs and wonders. We are seeing the greater things. We are totally seeing that. And you know, history has shown those that desire that the most, that want what God wants when it comes to diversity, see the greatest miracles, the greatest outpourings. In fact, the greatest outpouring that took place up till 2,000 years ago was in a place full of diverse people. Remember Pentecost? What happened? Jesus said, go there. Days before that, he tells the disciples, you all go to Jerusalem. Do not leave until you receive power, dunamis, dynamite power, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he will give you that power, not to have great charismatic meetings, okay, but to actually go be my witnesses, witness to the world, okay, of who I am, to Jerusalem, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This was the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And as I have studied church history, when people come together that don't look the same, what I've seen are the greatest signs and wonders take place. There's signs and wonders taking place. But you know, one of the other greater things I believe he's talking about? Jesus had a diverse following. He had uneducated, he had educated. He had rich, he had poor. He had men and women that were his followers, that were people that he were part of his team and leadership, okay? He ministered to Roman centurions. He ministered to Samaritans. But Jesus said, we do greater. That greater, at least part of that greater, is to go to more nations, more people groups. And that was the purpose, the primary purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit was what? To go out to the nations. And God brought the nations, people from many different nations that spoke different languages, where God poured out a spiritual language to unify us. You know that we can have one language. It's called a heavenly language. That unifies us. It's by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does it. So again, as I move on to point number four, a leader's glory grows with diverse followers. You want to be a great leader? Try getting a little more diverse with those you're leading. I mean, this is the perfect connection why God brings male and female together. You couldn't have more diversity than that. Right? I mean, come on. I mean, thank God, God did not command me to understand my wife. Okay? Because that is truly impossible. Okay? But he did command me to live in an understanding way. That is, I can believe in that. The other one would be just like, come on, how? Like, you women, you speak a different language. Okay, there's many different dialects of the world, but there's only really two languages in the world, mannish and womanish, okay? And you know it, you can be around the world, not even speak the same language of another woman, and you guys connect, you get each other. It's just above my pay grade. Okay, and understanding. Okay, number four, let's move on. Unity in diversity undercuts pride. Unity in diversity undercuts pride. And why is that such a big deal? Because God opposes the proud. In fact, one translation said, God stays away from the proud. He keeps his distance from the proud. But when you pursue unity in diversity, I mean, think about it. Like I said, there's nothing more diverse than a male and a female. I mean, science says that. We have different chromosomes, right? We have different, doctor, explain that to everybody. But when we're unified, there's nothing more powerful than when my wife and I are in agreement. And when we're not, when I'm not treating her right, God's like, I'm not hearing your prayers. Like, do you need any other motivation, men? Like, your prayers don't get answered, don't get heard from God when you treat your wife wrong. Ouch. Like, there have been times that I'm not feeling all the lovey-dovey things for my wife, but you know what, God? I still want you to hear me. So I'll go humble myself, get on my knees, and repent to my wife. And the good warm feelings follow after that, after she's so kind and loving and, you know, wraps me up in her arms. But Acts chapter 17, verse 26, Paul is preaching to the Athenians in Athens. And it says in verse 26, "For one man made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and boundaries of their lands." I didn't understand this until I dug in a little deeper, but Paul is speaking a bit of a rebuke to the Athenians, the Athens. Those in Athens. He's going, because Athens had a pride in their nation being the only European nation where we're from here. Everybody else, you're from someplace else, but we're from here. Let me say something. I love America. I think it's the greatest nation in the world. But in comparison to God's nation, to the kingdom of God, my love for God's kingdom and my identity in God's kingdom makes my identity and my citizenship in America way down here. And if you at all have this over this, you are out of whack and you are deceived. Because my citizenship is in heaven. That's the citizenship I value more than anything. Now, do I value being in America? Absolutely, I do. I'm grateful for that. And I'm going to use that privilege for the kingdom of God. I have no problem. Okay, let me just say this about wokeness. Okay, in 1987, I woke. I got born again. Okay? And that's the only wokeness that matters. But my citizenship in heaven, and guess what? There's a privilege to it. And I have privilege, no question, being an American. And do I have privilege of being white? Probably. And I have zero guilt about it. Zero. Why? Because I'm using my privilege for God's kingdom. I'm using my privilege to help up the oppressed, to help up the broken. Don't get this false humility, this garbage that somehow Jesus died for my guilt. I have no guilt. And the only reason you would feel guilty about it is because you're not doing anything with what you've been given. Or you're using it for selfishness. And you can't get rid of your guilt with your wokeness unless your wokeness is being born again. I'm not sure what I just said, but hopefully it was good. Number five, last one. The commanded blessing of unity in diversity. There's a commanded blessing we find in Psalm 133. And again, we're not worshiping diversity. We value diversity, but we seek unity. We pursue unity. And the only one who can give true unity is Jesus. Everything else in the world is counterfeit. I'm not saying the United Nations cannot do good. I'm not saying other institutions cannot do good. We'll call good, good, but it is counterfeit to the ultimate good found in the gospel. And there's a commanded blessing that comes with unity. How truly wonderful and delightful it is to see brothers and sisters living together in sweet unity. It's like a precious, it's as precious as the sacred scented oil flowing from the head of the high priest Aaron, dripping down upon his beard and running all the way down to the hem of his priestly robes. This harmony can be compared to the dew dripping from Mount Hermon, which flows down upon the hills of Zion. Indeed, this is where, church, Yahweh, God Almighty, has commanded his blessing will be found, the promise of life forevermore. Before I end with a blessing, I'm going to read Galatians 3, but before I read Galatians 3, let me say something about harmony. And just felt like this illustration came to me. I was being moved to start singing and sing a harmony, to sing a melody and then sing the part of the harmony, right? But I felt like you probably couldn't handle it, okay? But if I did sang the melody of a song, you would go, "Wow, that's beautiful, Pastor Mike. I didn't know you could sing so well," right? It just moved me. But then if I sang the harmony alone, you'd go, "Ooh, that's terrible sounding." That's what a life apart from the body, being in unity, sounds like. But when you take harmony and harmonies together and you bring it with the melody, it enriches it. It expands it. It makes it more powerful. And that's what unity does when we allow the Spirit of God to make us one as He is one. This was Jesus' prayer. This is still Jesus' prayer. Jesus is praying, church, for us. He's praying for you and I. He's praying to Father God, make them one as we are one. Make them one as we are one. Make them one as we are one. Who will believe that prayer of Jesus? He's praying it. But the question is, are you believing it? Are you believing it? Paul says in Galatians 3:28, "And no longer see each other in our former state, Jew or non-Jew, rich or poor, male or female, because we're all one through our union with Jesus Christ. And if you belong to Christ, then you are now Abraham's child, a true heir of all his blessings because of the promise God made to Abraham." Here's the deal. We're celebrating the nations. We're celebrating culture tonight. But none of those nations and none of those cultures is exalted above God's kingdom culture. His kingdom. His culture. You're going to see a parade of the nations and flags, and you'll see all those flags must bow down before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is exalted over all. And any nation that recognizes Jesus, the God of all creation, and exalts Him in His way, He will bless that nation. And every nation that throws Him out, you will see destruction and pain and sorrow. How do you get into His nation, His kingdom? You receive the King and what the King has done. Would you bow your heads as we close in prayer? If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your King and your Lord, and you don't know if you belong to His kingdom, you don't know if you have a citizenship in heaven, today you can make a decision to join His family, to be a part of His kingdom. And if today you would go, you know, I haven't valued the nations. I haven't valued people that aren't like me. I haven't had a heart, but I see God has a heart for them, and I want that heart. And today you have an opportunity to say, God, I want what you want. I want a heart for the nations. I want a heart for people that don't look like me. I want a heart for my neighbors. If you find yourself in either place today, having not known if you do belong to heaven and heaven's citizenship and God's kingdom, or you haven't cared for what His kingdom cares about, which is the nations. In either case, the good news is this: He loves you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to give you His heart. He wants to bless you. And all you have to do is believe. All you have to do is let go and grab hold of Him. So if that's you today, as our heads are bowed, eyes are closed in this moment, if you desire to surrender to Jesus, surrender your heart, your life, your desires, your values, would you lift up your hands? If you'd say, I want what God wants. I want diversity. I want to care about people that don't look like me, don't talk like me. I want Jesus. I want to know that I have heaven's citizenship. Hallelujah. All over this place. Come on, God. Thank you, Lord. Church, let's pray this with me. Say, Jesus, I surrender my life to you, to your ways. I receive your love, your forgiveness. Let my heart beat for what your heart beats for. God, I ask you for the nations. Give us the nations. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.